Okay, Luke 15, there's the verses on the screen. One chapter, some say one sermon, maybe three sermons, definitely three parables, all about lostness, and all, it seems, as a response to the fact that the religious leaders, they dismissed Jesus with a wave of the hand and with this snide remark, "This man welcomes sinners." And so the first parable is about the man who's got 100 sheep. He counts them one day and then says, hang on, what's going on? 98, 99, oh dear me. And immediately, he doesn't hang around to put the other 99 in the fold. Immediately he decides there and then, I am going to do all I can to find the missing sheep. Out he goes, searching high and low, as in the song we just sung. Some of you will remember the story that an old man told me about when he was a kid in the war in 1941. He was about 8 or 9. He was on Cardiff Railway Station. Some of you remember the story. I've never forgotten it. It was such a moving story. He was on the railway station with his mother, and there was this older woman rushing up and down the platform, looking in all the old compartments in those days. Remember the old trains? They had separate compartments, looking in every one. And he saw her. Then he said, his mother, "Mom, who's that?" "Oh, she comes here every day, love. She's looking for her boy. He was in the army, and one day she had a telegram saying he was missing, presumed killed, and she comes here every day to look for him, just in case he's on one of the trains." And of course, the little boy said, "Oh, I hope he comes home safe, ma'am." And then the mother said, "He's not coming home, love. He was pronounced missing in 1916. For 25 years, the love of that mother was so intense that poor Dav, she was driven every day for 25 years to keep looking, just in case she might find the son that she loved. Now, I find that an amazing story. Here's the shepherd. He leaves the 99 and he goes looking for one. Now, yeah, there are three parables and they're all about lostness, but there are differences here, for instance, where he finds the sheep, he puts the sheep on his shoulders, and Jesus applies that to us then, having carried the sheep home. It's not actually about a sheep and a shepherd. He says it's about one repentant sinner coming home to God, and how there's rejoicing in heaven and on earth, but certainly in heaven, over repentant sinners. Now, repentance is first of all a change of mind. It's about thinking differently about yourself, about God, about life, about death, about Jesus, about the Bible, about the devil, about everything. It's a change of mind. It's thinking differently about things. I remember about 30 odd years ago, where teenagers had this kind of phrase that came in, "Get real," they'd say to each other, teenagers, when I was teaching. "Get real." Well, repentance is just that. It's becoming real. The reality about who you are, who God is, what's life about. And on that basis, it's coming back to God. Coming back where you belong, to the saving arms of Jesus, who picks you up and you're safe in that circle forever and ever. Are you a repenter? Jesus points out there may well be 99 self-righteous people who don't think they need to repent. It's easy for you to be one of them. They're pretty good. They're in church. They're trying their best. They're nice. I remember many years ago, I had given some leaflets out one night on the street, and there was a guy in his 40s sitting in a derelict doorway drinking cider with a bunch of teenagers around him, all smoking and drinking. And as I tried to share the gospel and tell this man about his sin, he blurted out, "I never done no one no harm." "Oh, okay," I said, "well, let's start with that then. You know, apparently," I said, "you know, sitting here then, encouraging these youngsters to smoke funny fags and drink underage is not doing any harm." And then I said, "Have you got family?" "Well, as it happens, I'm back home with my mother." I said, "I bet she's over the moon tonight. Her 45-year-old son is sitting in a derelict doorway with some teenagers swigging bow and smoking funny fags. I bet she's absolutely delighted." And obviously he was furious. "You be careful now, mate," he said. "You got the nerve to tell me?" I said, "Yeah, I got the nerve to tell you, because you got the nerve to tell me I never done no one no harm." Now, what? Okay, there's people like that. Well, what a nice person like you, probably. the genuine nice person, the very type who slated Jesus for welcoming sinners, the religious type, who's moral and respectable. Of course, the danger is, as Jesus is using in that parable, the danger is they don't feel the need to repent. What have they ever done that's wrong? I'm not perfect, they say, but I'm better than most. I knew I was selfish before I was a Christian, and I knew I loved being selfish. But this is ridiculous. Talk about warped thinking. I knew I was selfish. I knew I loved being selfish. But I still thought I was better than some. Still. The Bible insists there is no difference. Now, some of you, see, when you hear that, you're thinking, yeah, that's not right, is it? I'm not the same as certain other people. No difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, see people think, yeah, well, I'm better than so-and-so. Here's my illustration. Grand Canyon. Has anybody ever been anywhere near the Grand Canyon in America to see it? It's supposed to be a massive, impressive sight. So imagine now, I decide, me and Jessica Ennis, you've heard of her? Me, we can have a competition so you can jump across the Grand Canyon, okay? I have my four Weetabix and my muesli. I'm in perfect condition. I have a perfect run-up and I launch off 2.5 meters and I disappear. Psh. Jessica Ennis, training for the Olympics, does her best ever, 6.63 meters. She leaps almost three times as far as me, but she still disappears, doesn't she? Because she's nowhere near. See, we've all sinned and fallen short. No matter how high you think your standard is, we've all fallen short. There's no one good except the God-man, Jesus Christ. But you know, one thing, and there's a few things, but one thing that marks Christianity out from every other religion is in this parable here. Because every other religion is about, you say this, you do go there, you do this, to try and find God. And here in this parable, Jesus is saying, no, that's entirely the wrong way around. It's God who does the looking. It's not that you are on the long, you know, you get these academics sometimes, the long search for God, they write these big, thick books. But actually, God is looking for you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save who was lost. In fact, that's the only purpose that Jesus came from heaven all the way down to this squalid, mucky little planet to welcome sinners. And the proof for that is right here. Why are you here at all? I don't mean on the world, in the world, on the planet. Why are you here this morning? You're here this morning, see, because somebody crossed your path with the gospel. That's why you're here. That's what's happened. See, little Bo Peep has lost their sheep and whatever. Leave them alone and they'll come home dragging their tails behind them. But the point of the gospel is, no, they won't. See, unless Jesus comes looking for you, you'll never find him. You'll never find him. The sheep will stay lost. The filthy will be filthy still, because we're in the darkness and we can't switch the light on. See, this is the amazing thing. Christians have come into my life. I didn't want them to come. Well, maybe you were born in a Christian home. What a privilege. But whatever your story is, the immense privilege was granted to you of hearing something about God. No hint here of sheep looking for the shepherd. There's not a hint of the sheep being interested in the shepherd. I know a guy lived in Neath in the 50s, fancied a girl, trying to chat her up. And she said, I tell you what, if you want to go on a date, come with me next week. I'm going up to Haringey in London to listen to Billy Graham. Come with me and on a date. Well, he fancied her. She said, oh, go on then. That morning he told us he was getting on the bus in Neath. I will never become a Christian, mind. She said, okay, come in and listen. 12 hours later, he's on the bus coming home, saved. Now, how's that then? Because Jesus went looking for him. Now, no religion's got anything like that. No religion says that God is searching for men and women and boys and girls. When I was in my final year in junior school, Helen Shapiro, a very young teenager, was the top of the charts, Walking Back to Happiness. Brilliant singer, young teenager she was. Jewess. A few years later, a Christian came to work for her. She was challenged. Many years later, another Christian. She was challenged again. Some years later, another Christian. Then she said, I seem to be tripping over Christians. Eventually, she realizes Jesus is seeking her. he's after her, and she's saved. Are you saved? You know, when I was first saved, I was a teacher. I went back to work in September, and the very first week, in the mercies of God, my friend, who was the deputy head, said, "I've got to take an assembly dozens of times talking about Einstein or Newton or whatever. Will you take assembly this week, will you?" I said, "Can I talk about my summer holiday?" "Yes." And I just stood up and said, "I don't know what sort of holiday you've had." "I've been saved." And immediately some of the staff, the kids were great, some of the staff, the religious ones, were furious. "How dare you get up on stage and tell us? How dare you? What gives you the right to tell us about Jesus?" And I didn't know much, but I knew this much, that I could say, "What gives me the right? He gives me the right. He commands his people to go everywhere. Go out into all the world." And he never said, "Stop south of my stake." He said, "Go to all the world. And here I am." Why does he send his people out? Why are you here? He sent somebody to you. Why? To tell you about the cross, where we sang, that Jesus died for people like us. So that death doesn't have to be something to be absolutely terrified about. So it can just be the gateway to glory. It can be a blessed relief from this planet. Look at our planet, man. You know, just look at the recent days. We've got bombs going off in Bangladesh and Iraq, is it, this morning. We got the people in the Tory party who hate other Tories. You've got people in the Labour party who hate other people in the Labour party. I was listening last Monday night, very late, coming home from preaching in Newport. I put the radio on. It was the last 5 minutes of England against Iceland, was it? Well, the vitriol, the hatred of the commentators for Roy Hodgson. It was disgusting, man. And he said the fans are chanting at the players, and I just thought, the players are trying their best, though. Okay, they might be hopeless, but they, you know, that hatred, that's just sin. That's just sin. Now, do you think you're any better than those people who are chanting and those people who are bombing people? If you do, then you will end up in hell with all the other self-righteous people who don't think they need saving. See, that's the thing. That is the thing. There's a growing trend. We mustn't mention hell from the pulpit now because it's in bad taste. But if you could ask anybody who's in hell now, you know, they'd say, "Oh, I wish somebody would have warned me more. I wish more people would have warned me. I wish more people would have said how awful it was going to be." See, where does this leave you now? You know, it's an astonishing thing. When I first came here, 16 years ago, trying to get into the local schools, once you got into one, it was easier to get into the next one and so on. And I went to a school, and the head, it was amazing. The head was a religious person, not a Christian. Religious person, lit a candle in the hall, and said, "Boys and girls, stare at the candle." And, "Oh, where are we going now, you know?" But then this is what the head said. "Boys and girls, see this man? God's brought him to the hill." I remember thinking, out of the mouth of babes and unbelievers, God speaks, because she was right. I was a messenger from God to tell the boys and girls about Jesus so that they can never say they never heard. What about you now? You know, the best thing of all from this parable for me. Yes, God sends his people out, and he sent people to me, and I thank God every week for them. I'll never forget them for coming and telling me about Jesus for years, even though I wasn't interested. But even though he sends his people out to tell everybody they meet about the gospel, you know, my favorite thing is he saves us himself from. He saves us himself. He comes himself. He picks us up. He's got, if you were his, he's got you safe here now. Nobody can harm you.